What's up, Buffalo Fanatics? Josh Allen here. Just wanted to say, go Bills.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy back at it again. Welcome to another edition of the Rico Report, brought to you by the Buffalo Fanatics, presented by FanSided. We are the Buffalo Bills podcast for FanSided, so everybody knows what's good, man. So you guys know where to get your info. Get your podcasting is right here with the Buffalo Fanatics. So I appreciate you guys tuning in to another beautiful edition with your guy, and I'll be joined by a special guest, by the way, and he's a young and up and coming BF all day every day. That's how we do, man. So let me bring on my guy right now, my man Evan Harrington. Let's go. What's up, Ev? What's happening today, bro?
What's going on? Thanks for having me on again.
Of course, man. Listen, this has been a long time coming, man. It's a long time coming. It's just a matter of like who I have lined up and slotted as a guest, but I had to bring my guy Evan into the building. What's up, Ev? What's good? What's happening? Everything's good out there or what?
Yeah, everything's going great. You guys have hooked me up with a few good opportunities over the last 3 weeks. Right now I'm camping, so connection's a little unstable, but you know, we're making things work. Well, I say camping, but we're glamping.
You're glamping. You're glamping.
Yeah, we got the camper going.
Well, listen, man. Loyalty is big for me personally. If you rock and you rock with BF and you rock with me, is and you're gonna get opportunities. It's just what it is, right? And that's what you continue to do. So you're gonna reap the benefits of being with BF, man. So it's dope. And glamping is, I'll say something, man. I'm not a big, hey, you want to go camping? It sounds cool, but it's not for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just can't. And I made the mistake of telling somebody I went camping. I went camping when I first started dating my wife right now, and she wanted to go camping. So we went to a campground. It was really dope. It was just her and I. We went camping. First time ever tented. We got a tent. We got a whole sleeping bag situation, but I'm bougie, man. I brought an air mattress. I said, yo, bring that air mattress in that bitch. And so it was actually really cool. And then I was telling somebody about it, and they're like, yeah, where'd you go camping? I was like, oh, we went to this place. It was really dope. There was a shower. There was a this. They're like, shower. He's like, dude, you did not go camping. That's not camping. Camping is when you go to the bush where there's nothing around. You got to dig a hole into the ground
and go to the mountains.
Do your business. That's too much for me. I can't do it. So shout out to those that really do go camping. They say it's a great experience. So
I got a pre-made bed right here. I got a pre-made bed. If I wanted to just like hop out of the show and take a quick nap, like I can. It's a
absolutely, man. That's the beauty of it. So glamping is what it is. I gotta give a shout out to my man Scott Blakely from the Shy, the Windy City. He says, yo, happy Father's Day to all Bills Mafia family. That's to you, Rico. Appreciate you. And Scotty, I appreciate you and your young ladies that are probably watching with you right now. If not, and if they are watching, Scotty's a good man. All right. You treat that man with the utmost respect this weekend and going forward. Because fathers are important. They are important. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, you're going to be a father sometime soon in your lifetime. But right now, you just live your life right now without planting seeds anywhere.
Only another 10 years.
You never know. You just never know. But listen, a big shout out to all fathers out there, man. I have the utmost respect for guys that just grind it out and are there. They may not be the greatest husbands. They may not be the greatest brothers and siblings, but they are there for their kids and they love them kids. So appreciate y'all. And we'll go from there. But you got a story you got to tell me, because I purposely didn't allow you to elaborate on it. But folks, if you guys don't know, my man Evan is glamping between Buffalo and Rochester. But where are you exactly? What area?
So it's this place called it's in Warsaw. It's this place called Dream Lake. It's just a nice little like campground. It's nice and calm. There's a nice lake. It's a pond, not a lake, but it's a nice little pond over there. It's nice though. It's a nice little camping spot.
Well, and you're camping with family, and
you dropped a nugget. Friends, yeah.
Yeah, family and friends. You dropped a nugget that you, I didn't think you're, I mean, I don't think you expected me to say, whoa, hold on a second, rewind that. But Evan right now is so bold that he invited his ex-girlfriend to go.
I didn't know. Let me rephrase this. I didn't invite.
You better explain yourself, boy. Explain yourself.
Long story short. Here we go. Camera's on me. Here we go. long story short, 2020, like I'm camping with these people and family and friends. The girl in the camping group became really good friends and we started dating and then we broke up over a wild time and she's still in the group and we still camp with one another here and there. So she's here right now. But yeah, it's no hard feelings. Like we're still friends. So it's nothing like.
Do you think you'll knock on her door? Hey, it's me, Evan. Yo, I'll put you on the spot. I'm not gonna put you on the spot like that.
No way, man. No way.
Could you imagine Evan has to leave one of the campers to go to the other camper? He has to open the screen door. Who is it? I'm not even going there. But anyway, shout out to you, man.
Screen door, if you open the screen door in a camper, you're already in.
You're in already?
Because it's the hard door and then the screen door.
Oh, it's the hard door and the screen door. Okay. That's funny. Thank you for giving me that. But for those that there were, I got somebody that asked me how many kids I have. I have 8 children. If you would believe that, 8 children. So 8? I got, first of all, I'm joking. First of all, everybody's like, I knew it. They always have a bunch of children. No, we don't. I have four children. I have a 19-year-old, Vanessa. She is, I had her when I was quite young. So, but she's my gem. Like that girl she's everything to me. And then I've got my 2 other girls. I've got Myla and Anaya, 10 and 8. You know what I'm saying? And I was ready to call it. Hey, listen, I'm a girl dad. I was ready to say, that's it. I guess these boys ain't ready to give me a boy. And then, man, the good Lord was like, I got one more for you. I got one more for you. And now I got my baby boy. So I've got 3 girls and 1 boy. And yeah, I'm busy. People say, yo, Rico, you're busy. How do you have time? I get this question all the time. How do you have time to A, work overnights, B, deal with them kids, you know what I'm saying? And you have a newborn on top of that, and you're able to come do live shows 3 times a week. Like, how the heck do you do it? Time management and having a good wifey. Honestly, that's just what it comes down to, man. It comes down to having a good partner that knows what's good, knows what you're passionate about. And she rocks with you. So I gotta give it to her, man. So happy Father's Day once again. But I really do want to jump on this camping thing because I saw somebody mention my man Jeff King. I think Jeff King made a comment I think I laughed my ass off at. It was something like, yo, if it doesn't show the, yeah, this is the one. It says, if it doesn't say the Hilton on the front, I ain't camping. Here, there's some people that are bougie like that. They need the Hilton, they need the Westin, they need all that good stuff there. For me, camping. Jason N says camping is where you see a pond, lake, a stream, and maybe Bigfoot. Hey, I get it. There was water near where I was camping, if you will. Here's the way I look at it. If you're sleeping in a freaking tent and you got a sleeping bag, you know what I'm saying? And you got to walk, you know what I'm saying? To go and use the facilities or whatever the case is, you're camping. I don't care.
Yeah, no, for sure.
If you can build a fire near your tent, you're camping. That's the way I look at it. But people are like, man, you ain't camping. That's glamping. I'm seeing this glamour. I mean,
yeah, no, like I used to tend camp, but glamping's what I have going on right now.
Yeah. And I respect it, man. I would love to have, because I've seen it. Like what you're in right now, I'd love to have one of those. Then I'd go camping or glamping all the time, like a freaking trailer. You know what I'm saying? Like a nice, but I mean, then I got to get a hitch. Then I got to maybe get a pickup truck with a fifth wheel. I ain't all that.
And, you don't need a fifth wheel for like 30 footers. You just need a fifth wheel for like the big guys, like the big guys.
And the one I don't want to do is, and I don't know how much space there is, the ones that you can kind of crank the roof up, crank it up and open it
all up,
pull it out. I don't know what those ones are. Those look pop-ups. Those look like a pain to put together or like.
So I'll give you a pop-up really quick. My old camper was kind of like that, except the sides popped out instead of the up. Basically a pop-up is literally, it's like a little box and you pop it up. And you kind of have 2 side beds.
Yes.
You have like a little sink in a kitchen, a little seat table area, and then you got your little port-a-john right there. That's it, though. No shower.
No shower. That I do know. Is it as spacious as it? It doesn't give me the space that I think it may give.
If if it's like you and maybe like a kid, your wife and a kid, I'd say there's room. But if you're trying to go like, if you're like in your young 20s and you do like all guys trip, you do like two per bed, six of you. Yeah, you have no room. See,
It might fit four. So yeah, maybe one of these days when I get a little older where I'm just like, you know what? The kids probably like this. I'll take them camping, get myself a little pop up and go from there. I mean, it doesn't take much to kind of pull those things.
Yeah, right? I'd say 500
pounds, if that.
I have no idea.
It's all good. All is good. But anyway, I just wanted to jump in there and give a shout out to my man, Ev, because he's living on the edge right now with his ex-girlfriend around there somewhere. I'm just waiting for you to give me a story and say, hey, by the way, that story.
Somewhere over there.
You might make your way somewhere over there and knock on the door.
No, I'm going over there. I'm going back that way, not that way.
Okay, there you go. There you go, my man. So, Ev, we are going to get into a few topics today. And by the way, I want to give a shout out to each and every one of you guys tuned in, watching the Rico Report. We appreciate you, man. I'm joined by my man, Evan Harrington. He's been booked and busy. We got that man busy, I'll tell you right now. I'm going to read the super chat real quick, but we sent you on an excursion. We sent you on a trip, and I need you to explain how this trip went. But just before you do, I'm going to jump in and read my man Scott Blakely's comment here. He goes, hey, the wife and girls are listening and told me my gift came from your Fanatics fan shop. Damn, they won't tell me what it is, however. Well, listen, ladies, if you guys are listening, I need to make this a heartwarm message. If you guys are listening, you look at Papa right now and you say, I love you, man. All right. And you give that man a hug. You know what I mean? Because we fathers, man, there's just a certain love fathers have for their kids, I tell you. So there's something. So you better thank your dad if he's around. You know what I'm saying? And show him some love, man. Show him some love, man. Appreciate you, Scott Blakely, and I appreciate everybody tuning in. Let me get myself back off screen and get my guy Evan back in there. So, Ev, you have been booked and busy, right? And I got that from my man Joe Budden. So, booked and busy. Tell us what you've been up to. Where have you been? Where has BF been sending you?
So, about, I want to say, 3-ish weeks ago, you guys sent me out to a Spencer Brown event hosted by Nick Gary.
Yes, sir.
So that was a fun little event there. Spencer Brown, meeting him and interacting with him and being able to do a small sided 3-minute interview with him was awesome. Massive individual. Obviously, you see it on the field. He's a massive guy. He's throwing pancakes, you know, taking two guys out in one play, chugging beers with Stephon Diggs and the fans on the sidelines. He's doing it all. But I might, like, for example, like on my Instagram, there's a picture of me and Spencer Brown. I'm about 5'10", 5'11".
Yep.
And there's like a good foot of separation. Like, he's about 6'8", 6'9". Like, he's massive.
He's a tower.
And yeah, that was awesome. It was a pretty packed event. All the fans came through, and it was cool. It honestly was a great experience. And then
we went to the Wester event.
That was an experience, that I didn't think I would get to have, but it was awesome. I just didn't know if it was going to come up. Like, I didn't know. So I didn't know you guys were going to have me come.
Surprise.
Yeah, listen, surprise.
Man, sometimes this event comes to us and it comes to us last minute. Like, hey, are you guys able to make it happen? And we're like, all right, let's make it work. And it's a little tougher for me because I'm in another country. And so now that the restrictions are kind of loosening up a little bit, I'm able to make these moves, man. So be ready for some more. But we sent you to one other one.
Yes.
Not too long ago. Talk about that one.
Yeah, so a few days back, so this is the backstory of it. It's, you know, late at night and you hit me up on a text. Like you mentioned, like, just they hit you up, it comes up,
we'll
send you out.
True.
I was actually watching the new Jurassic World in the movie theater, and I just saw my phone span from you, and I'm like, oh, what is this? Like, this must be important. I looked at it, I'm like, oh gosh, I'm gonna answer this. Walked out of the theater real quick, said, heck yeah, I'm in, let's go. And then the next day the event actually was for Josh Allen. In his new NFT that was dropped through DraftKings and Metabilia. And basically, there's the NFT is like, it's a 3-tier NFT system. There's the $100 one, $200 one, and the $2,000 one. But basically, what his NFT is, it's a little different than normal NFTs. You kind of get perks and stuff with it. You'll get meet and greets. You'll get discounts on, you know, Bills memorabilia, whether that's signed helmets, like a signed football, what he got back there, signed jerseys, anything. And it was cool. It was a private event for about 30 to 40 people who own the NFT. And it's just like personal experience one-on-one with Josh. Like, you just get to know the guy deep down. Josh has a couple drinks in him. You get a couple drinks in yourself. You just talk and just have like a normal conversation.
Yes,
like,
sir.
Just like two guys, you know, at a bar. Like that's literally what it was. And it was awesome to see Josh more down to earth. Like we saw him at the West Her event the day before this Metabilia NFT event. I bumped into him at Dick's Sporting Goods in Orchard Park. So I've been able to see him a few times over the past few weeks. So I've gotten to know Josh.
He's the real deal.
Well. Like when people talk about him in the media, like, he's the most down to earth guy. He's goofy. He's just the most humble human being you'll probably meet. Like, all those are true. Josh is a goofball through and through.
Yep.
He's humble as can be. For how much money the guy's making, for how popular and famous he is. Again, he's in a small city, blue collar city. You know, he's from a small city himself. How big is Josh up close? He's pretty big.
He's pretty big.
My dad's 6'3", and Josh has a good 2-3 inches on him.
Hey, I gotta call you out, Evan. Because Evan doesn't know what I'm gonna say right now. So he's like, "What? Call me out for what?" So my man Evan, we met at the Wester event, and Evan and Zbot were waiting for me at the restaurant. And the minute we get there, Evan's like, "Oh, I'm taller than you." I'm like, "Bitch, no, you're not."
Yeah. Yes, I am.
No, you're not taller than me. Because I'll tell you why. I'm like, because if you guys look at the picture, there's a picture of me, Zbot, and Evan, and we're all standing. Everybody's just standing there, and I'm like, "Boy, what is Evan talking
about?
Taller than me?
Where is it?
You better trip. You trip. If I had it, I'd freaking post it up." Nice try, Evan.
Anyway, no, I digress. No. I have it right here. I think it's right here.
The four of us. It was like me, you, Zbot, and Kroon.
You want to know why? Zach's pulling on my shoulder. He's pulling me down.
Okay, big guy.
Look.
Nobody can really see it because you have a glare. There's a glare. Let me see if I think it's on.
Where I'll send it to you on Insta.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to pop it up on Instagram. Boy, you tripping. Talk about, he's pulling on my shoulder.
No, because he had his arm around my shoulder.
He looked taller than me. Boy, please. Anyway, we're not tall people, first of all. We're not. I'm like, what? I'm still
growing.
I'm 9.5 to 5'10.
If you're 5'9, I'm 6'2.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's hilarious. That makes you 5'7 if we're going to talk like that. Anyway, but nonetheless, it was a fun event. My man Evan killed it, and there's going to be more events coming. And this this NFT event, there's going to be more of those coming.
Yeah.
Josh Allen there. So listen, we'll be killing those as we go. So let's get right into Bills talk, man. Let's get right into Bills talk. And I wanted to do this last show, but I think it's apropos that we do it now. Kim Pegula seems to be going through some medical issues right now. And you never want to hear that, right? We're getting a little older. All these things that are, hitting people these days, and this whole COVID thing. And I don't know what her ailments are, but we gotta send some love to Mrs. Pegula's way. I'm hoping for whatever she's dealing with, that she's able to get through it, quick recovery, so she can be with her family, man, be with her husband, and watch these Bills do what they do. So salute and shout out to Miss Kim Pegula. I'm hoping that you recover and you get back to what you normally do on your normal basis, instead of, sitting here trying to recover and get better. So we hope that you get a quick and speedy recovery, and we'll go from there, Ms. Kim. Bills talk. Let's get right into it. The Bills, I found this very interesting. The Bills have hired, they brought on a new department. And this department is the Department of Analytics. And I thought, in my opinion, I thought this analytics, I'm like you, Evan, analytics is like, yo, bump all that analytics talk, right? Can you play or can you not? And the more I was reading into this analytics, it wasn't what I expected. The analytics department that they brought on was more of a health and safety aspect, right? A load management, if you will. Right. And this department, they've hired two people into this department. One of them is Drew DeSanto. Or did I, am I pronouncing his name right? Drew DeSanti or Drew DeSanto? I don't know which one it is. It is, yes, Drew DeSanto. He was hired for as a sports performance data analyst. Some people say data, some people say data. It is what it is. Data analyst, for those that like to say data. And his job is pretty much making sure that everyone's at their most optimal abilities, if you will. And Evan's got a nice nugget to kind of fall and follow through with that. And as we dive into this this analytics department, because I think it's really cool. Ev, what did you come up with?
Yeah, so today in a car ride, I was listening to WGR, and I'm trying to remember who exactly said it. It was either Sal Capaccio or Matty Glab. But one of those two mentioned how, you know, the Buffalo Bills, ever since Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean came here, have just been, you know, intrigued in how analytics can work and how we can improve on the basis of analytics, you know, not just for the nice little stats to see how the players are doing here and there, but, you know, for these players' bodies and for the players' improvement and what they can do to make themselves better and keep them on the field instead of off the field. And one of those interesting things were is that they figured out that the Bills players in general play their best at 9:50 a.m. Eastern time. So that's why, as of right now, they are holding this year's training camp and others at 9:50 a.m. in the morning. Because that's when they said the peak performance comes out of our, you know, our athletes, out of, you know, the Bills players on the current roster. So I just found that was pretty interesting. There's a couple other little details in there, but, you know, how, you know, they use the analytics to, you know, help with the weight machines and all, you know, the new performance center we have after the year after McDermott and Bean came here. But, you know, they just really have found themselves into a nice spot with these analytics where they're going to use it for the better.
Yeah.
And they really have a nice staff together.
That's actually really cool. And the peak performance, and I don't know about you guys, but sometimes my mind goes in the gutter often. I don't know. As a man, my mind goes in the gutter and I'm like, peak performance. When am I at my peak performances? Like when, like, I mean, I'm talking about like past the athletic days, just life in general. And sometimes if you want to have a lone time with your lady, when is it that you guys are your peak performances? And I'm like, man, what time? And I'm like, that's where my mind goes, right? How ridiculous am I? But anyways, we'll get into that that type of chatter another time. But peak performance is interesting. At 9:50, that's when everybody's at their best.
That's so what they mentioned. So
10 o'clock is practice. 9:50, get these guys up. Get them ready. Let's get going. I want to see who's doing what and where. I'm actually really, really interested in that. It's actually really cool. So furthermore, into that department, because we have such we've been bragging about our wellness center, our workout station, our workout room that we have with the Bills. It's one of the best, state of the art. So really cool to have this new department come in. And one of the quotes here that I was reading on is like the weight room, the on field, the grass. Like these are the things they look at, right? The grass, all that stuff. Just trying to keep these guys healthy. Being said, so this. We've already been one of the most healthiest teams. Like my man Evan was talking, him and I were talking earlier. We're not a, knock on wood, we're not a team that gets injured often. In the last 3 years, we've been a very healthy team. That's why I always, whenever it's like, there's a free agent available, we should bring that guy in. And everybody would immediately say, no, don't even bother with that guy. He's injury prone. Don't even worry about it. But what? Hold on a second. Why don't you do bring him on? If we can get the most out of this player based on what we bring as a health team, a very healthy team, and the health department is really great, bring that player on. That's the way I look at it. But hold on a second. You out of here, my love? You good? You cool? All right. We'll see you in the morning. Okay? So at the end of the day, I actually love that. The fact that they're really investing even more into their players. I mean, it makes sense. You got a lot of players that's worth a lot of money, right? Stephon Diggs being one of them. Left tackle Deion Dawkins being another. You got Von Miller. These guys are worth a lot of money. So if I have all this money invested into these players, I got to make sure that these guys are at their peak performance. I'm making sure that they're resting the right time. It's almost a big old load management department. Watch out for how these guys work. Watch out for what they do. Not too much practicing. Stop practicing. You know what I mean? Around this time. I think that's really cool. But good job on them, man. Good job on them. They're investing into their team, and the analytics is only going to get better for us. That's the way I look at it. Ev, did you want to add anything else to that?
But yeah, you can just also touch on the fact that, you know, Josh Allen has not missed a game since his rookie season. And that
knock on wood again. Fact,
yeah, knock on wood.
Yes, sir.
But like, you know, that's due to the fact to, you know, our medical staff. I mean, you know, he's had a few, you know, bang plays here and there. Same with Stephon Diggs, Dawson Knox, and Gabe Davis, and, you know, Cole Beasley. All of our star players have been banged up here and there. But, you know, our medical staff and our analytical department goes into those, you know, into those territories. You know, they make sure, like, hey, do this, that, and the third, that this minor injury really won't, you know, inhibit any bad play, because we're going to, you know, make sure through the week you're doing this, that, and the third to get onto the field instead of being off the field. Evan, have you been accepted into Harvard yet? No, I go to Buff State. I'm not getting into Harvard.
Stop your nonsense, man. Listen, that's a compliment. It's coming from Jeff King. Jeff King sees. He sees something in you, man.
Thank you, Jeff.
I go to Buff State, not Harvard.
I love Buff State, though. If anyone from Buff State's listening, go Bengals, baby.
Go Bengals. By the way, my man, Air Allen says, yo, Rico, you have too many damn kids to worry about some peak performance. Hey, man. My peak performance is always, I got to make sure that I'm performing, because guess what? If you ain't performing, I mean, she going to be walking. So you got to make sure you handle your business. Don't forget about that, fellas. Don't you stop your peak performing. You know what I'm saying? When it's really, Evan, that's going to be for you when you're a little older. So don't you worry about that, big fella. Don't you worry about that. But anyway, but shout out to the Bills in investing in an analytics department. I think that's huge. I think it's important. And we got to make sure that we keep our guys nice and ready to go, because we have such a schedule, such a tough schedule this year, and they're gunning. It's nice to be, and I used to say this all the time, man, the Bills always are in the hunt. They were always in the hunt, but never caught their prey. That was always my motto for the Bills, because as a Bills fan, I mean, we've been seeing so many times where they're either not even performing and they're not even ready to even sniff playoffs, or they've always been in the hunt. Always in the hunt. They're 7 wins or 8 wins, and they're close, and they just never make it, right? So I've always been saying they're always in the hunt but never catch their prey. But now we're being hunted. The Bills are the hunted, and it's weird for me to even say that, but I love every bit of it. So when we have an analytics department that's saying, hey, man, we're going to be playing a whole bunch of teams, a whole bunch of cats that are going to be gunning for us, we've got to make sure that we're on top of our shit. So shout out to that team. Shout out to the Bills. And we got big things coming this year. So we got to make sure that we nail everything, starting off with Thursday Night Football against the freaking Rams. So we're going to see how that plays out. I got to ask you a question, my man.
What's up?
I'm looking at this AFC, and I'm looking at quarterbacks that are being paid, have been paid, and will be paid. And the one name that is out there, and this goes in for the chat as well. I need the chat. And by the way, for those that are tuned in right now, this is my man, Evan Harrington. That's our guy, and he's our correspondent. He goes to where we need him to go and hold it down for BF. And he needs, and he's, listen, he's doing his own thing at Buff State. I mean, behind the microphone, doing his thing. You got me. I'm your host, Rico, and this is the Buffalo Fanatics. This is the Rico Report. Smash that like while you guys are in here. If you guys have not subscribed, subscribe to the channel. The goal is to get to 25,000 subscribers before the season. We're at 22.5. I think we're at 22.4, give or take. So we've got a few more thousand to go, but we're there. We got to get there. So let's get up to 25K. So speaking of money, players got to get paid, right? Owners got to pay. And there's one particular quarterback that has been in the blogs, in the articles, and that's Lamar Jackson. And yeah, Lamar Jackson right now he's not quick to sign with his team, but he wants to get a deal done. And the conversation I was having with people today is they don't feel like he's worth the money that he's asking for. But the guy's a top 10 quarterback. How are you going to say he doesn't deserve the money he's asking for when he's a top 10 quarterback? Evan, talk to me. Are you in favor of a guy like is? And I may be posting this question incorrectly. Do you feel that he is deserving of a big time contract? And before you answer the question, I got to give a shout out. I haven't used this bell in a long time. Nick Robinson, welcome to the Bing Squad. Bing, biggity, bing. I haven't used this bell in a long time, people. Let me use this bell. I gotta ring that bell, baby. Let's go. Appreciate you, Nick Robinson. Love it. So back to you, Evan. I get excited when I get to ring that bell.
So oh, for sure. Go for it.
You know what I'm saying? So when it comes to my man, Lamar Jackson, he's one of my favorite quarterbacks in the game. I love Lamar Jackson. Is he deserving of a big contract?
Well, you're looking since 2019. This guy was the league MVP. Not many players in the NFL will, you know, win league MVP when you're looking since 2019.
Absolutely.
2019, Lamar Jackson, 2020, Aaron Rodgers, and then 2021, Aaron Rodgers. So the last three league MVPs, it's only been two players, Aaron Rodgers and Lamar Jackson. You can say what you want about Lamar Jackson. You can say he's definitely regressed since his MVP season. He's not the same player in his MVP season. Mm-hmm. You know, he can still run the ball. You know, the touchdowns passing-wise haven't been there like they were that season. But, you know, he's still a pretty solid passer of the football. He is the most electrifying player to ever, you know, play the quarterback position, running the football-wise. It's not even close. This guy is a walking 3,400 passing, 1,000-yard rushing quarterback. But yep. This is the kind of question that we're going to, you know, propose here is, can Lamar Jackson, you know, keep up? Because, like, you know, just this injury, he just had a pass injury this year.
Yep.
And, you know, running the football like Lamar Jackson, you're taking a lot of hits in the open field.
But Lamar didn't get hurt by because he got blasted.
These I are know, like, I'm just saying.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, will these injuries start piling up? Because the type of quarterback he is, he has to rely on his legs, you know? He's not like Josh Allen or Mahomes or Brady or Rodgers or Stafford or Herbert where they can sit in the pocket, take hits, you know, deliver the balls on time. Lamar can do that, but he hasn't shown he can do that at a full strength of time or a full, you know, time overall. And Lamar is very up and down this season. He had a great game against the Colts where he passed for 400 yards, passed for four touchdowns, zero picks, 85-plus completion percentage.
Thank you.
That was an elite game.
There's like not a lot of great players that can even do that, other than the guys like Josh Allen and your freaking Aaron Rodgers will do things like that. But like, there's not a lot of quarterbacks can do that. And I feel like a lot of.
But after that, he went downhill.
Why do you? And why then, did he go downhill?
I just don't think. I did not see that the
Ravens were depleted with injuries.
Oh, they were definitely. For holy crow! Sure.
Like, but everyone wants to scoff over that. Oh, he had a down year, but there's a reason he had a down year. Did you not see everyone was dropping? They were the most injured team last year.
Yeah. No, definitely.
But yet,
for sure.
People want to harp on that. It drives me insane.
That goes back. I think Lamar Jackson can be a much better player if Greg Roman wasn't the offensive coordinator in Baltimore. Because his system is so plain and Jane. It's basically 13 personnel every single play. You're going to run one wide receiver to the left, three tight ends, you know, on the right side of the line. Fullback, running back, Lamar Jackson, let's go make some magic happen. And it's like, yeah, Lamar's a magical player. He can do, you know, some of the impossible. But how much can he do? You know, and you're having one wide receiver. You say, how much can he do in that offense? You know, Greg Roman literally has the most basic offensive system in the league.
No, false. It's terrible. That offense is catered to Lamar Jackson. Oh.
Well, I'm saying it's like basic. It's three tight ends.
Is it basic? Though? Is it basic?
I think it's a bad offensive system.
I think this is where we disagree. I don't think it's a basic offense. Greg Roman is an intelligent young man, and his offense can be complex, but it's catered to Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's strength is running that football. That's his strength, right? It's a God-given strength. He can do those things, but he could also whip the ball around. And we've seen it with 36 freaking touchdowns his MVP season. So I hate when people scoff over that.
Well, I know this is my
I'm not saying you're scoffing over.
It's a basic offense is because for the first couple of years in Lamar Jackson's career, he was dominating. You know, his first year in the league, people weren't ready for it. Second year in the league, he wins league MVP, but after that, you saw the regression happen. And I know there's been injuries, and I know he hasn't had the number one receiver that he proudly deserves.
There you go.
But at the end of the day, the reason why I'm saying it's a basic offense is because you kind of know what's going to happen when it's out there. You got one receiver and three tight ends.
And that's a good point, because maybe it's a matter of, okay, I want to really see what Lamar can do without Greg Roman, because it's catered to him. So give us someone that's going to kind of open things up and allow him to go, you know what I'm saying, four wide, five wide, and so on and so forth, right? But when you have Andrews on a team like that, you got to – that offense has to go through a guy, one of the best tight ends, if not the best tight end in the game, in Andrews. So it's tough, man. So and I ask you this because I'm going through the quarterbacks. And I gotta give love to my man Cardero Lindor. He's been a longtime follower. What's up, Cardero Lindor? Hey, Cardero, what's happening, bro? Just showing some love, man. Keep up the good work, Rico. Go Bills. I appreciate you, Cardero. You've been a longtime viewer, man. I appreciate you. That's love. I'm looking at the top paid quarterbacks. You got Aaron Rodgers, 4 years, 200 mil. You got Deshaun Watson, him in 5 years, 230. Was, you know, 230 mil guaranteed. What a huge contract that is. You got Pat Mahomes, the $500 million man, and Pat Mahomes on a 10-year contract, 450, 63 million guaranteed. And then the list goes on. Then you got Josh Allen at 258. Right now, let's now start going down the list. Derek Carr is on a 3-year deal right now, 121. Then you've got Matthew Stafford on a 4-year, 160, right? And he's got a $40 million a year he's gaining. And I'm looking at the rest of the guys down this list, right? Dak Prescott, he's at 4 years, 160, right? Making what, 31 million?
Dak.
Hold on, I'm just making sure that I'm looking at Dak's. He's got a 4 year 160, averaging 40 mil a year. Then you go to Russell Wilson. Right now he's at $35 million a year.
Who's looking to ask for a new contract as well?
Yes, he will. And he's asking for 250, right? Yep. So you've got Jared Goff, 230. He's making $33 million a year. Kirk Cousins, for crying out loud, making $33 million a year. You mean to tell me, somebody told me that Lamar Jackson is gonna be making, he should be getting in the 20 range to maybe 30. You got Kirk Cousins and Jared Goff making $33 million. You think that Lamar Jackson is going to make less than that? And he's got an MVP under his belt? Y'all better stop.
To be honest, when you look at the quarterback market right now, I don't think he gets Josh Allen money. And I'm just going to say that realistically. I just don't think he's even close to being on par, you know, in that same level as a quarterback like Josh Allen. And Josh is making 43. So, like, that's the cutoff for me. He's not making over 43. But at the same time, like, I think Matt Stafford's better than him. He's making 40. But here it is. You got Dak Prescott and Derek Carr making $40 million.
Right.
And you know, you can have your preference of Dak Prescott over Lamar, but most people have Lamar over Dak and Derek Carr. So right there, I'm looking in between like $41 to $42 million a year.
And that's fair. That's exactly what I'm looking at.
From what I'm hearing.
Go ahead.
What I'm hearing from the Ravens camp is that, like, you know, right now Lamar Jackson doesn't have an agent. He's just solo. He just kind of does his own thing.
Him and his mama.
Which is interesting. It's a different approach. I've never seen it before. It's interesting.
Yep.
You know, he's going into the final year of his contract. He was drafted at the end of the first round in 2018. He's on his fifth year option right now.
Right.
I think he's making about like $23 million this year. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, they're saying that they might just franchise tag him right out of that. And Lamar Jackson really doesn't have a choice.
Hey, franchise tag him all he wants. He's gonna get his. But here's the problem. If you franchise tag him now, you don't get an opportunity to franchise tag him again the year after. I don't think you can franchise tag a player twice or something of that nature. So
franchise tag him, but you're gonna pay for that.
What's that?
Did they change that in the new CBA?
I remember reading something to the nature where you cannot franchise tag
because somebody. You used to be able to.
Yeah, you used to be able to. So hear me out. If they franchise tag him, first of all, you're letting me know that, okay, so are we not doing something? Sometimes when you franchise tag someone, eventually you make a deal. But you franchise tag Lamar Jackson, fam, you're going to pay for it because he's going to go somewhere else. And somebody will pay him. They will pay him. Ravens, don't screw this up. Pay that man and build around them, and you guys are going to have something special. That's just my opinion.
Well, I mean, like right now, if they do settle to give them, you know, the franchise tag after year five, I mean, you know, there's some teams that are, you know, are looking at the quarterback position, and one team to mention, you know, is the Carolina Panthers.
Heck yeah. But I mean, they got Baker Mayfield right now too, so.
Who are we going to look at, Baker Mayfield or Lamar Jackson?
Exactly. Hey, listen, I'm just saying. So these Ravens, like you said, pretty much what you're saying is don't mess this up. You have yourself
difficult
to find yourself a franchise quarterback. Don't screw it up.
I mean, yeah, like overall, you can say what you want about Lamar Jackson, you know, whether you don't think, you know, some guys have him outside the top 10, some guys have him inside the top 10. Like for me, I have him
outside the 10, up top 10?
I have him like nine.
I mean, yeah. He's top 10, but he's not nine.
He ain't nine. I have Mahomes, Rodgers, Allen, Brady. So, like Watson, if playing, Herbert, okay, Wilson, Watson. Burrow, uh-huh. Stafford. That's 8-9 right there.
So you're taking Stafford over Lamar?
Oh, easily. Stafford's a much better throw of the football. Stafford can sling it.
Of course he can.
I'm taking Stafford over Lamar 7 out of 7 days a week.
Really? Yeah. Very interesting.
The guy just won a Super Bowl. Throws for 4,000 yards every year. Consistent 30 touchdown passer. You know, has been one of the best quarterbacks in the league for a long time. Got disrespected so many times playing for the Lions. Left Detroit, came to the Rams. You know, did what he did best. He literally has.
Maybe Lamar needs a new location.
This is the thing. Like for me, Lamar's a good throw of the football inside the hash marks, but outside throwing towards the sideline, he just doesn't do it for me. Like, he can throw the ball there, but
I see. This is where I disagree. I hate that argument, but you know what? I'm gonna let it
that's
be.
That's just what I've seen on film. Hey. I've seen too many times where he just can't get the ball.
And I've seen many times where he slings that thing downfield. He slings that thing to the sideline, and he doesn't get credit for it because these bums are dropping it because he's got no receivers. That's the sad part. But anyway,
he's got bad receivers.
Yeah, you damn right. What did they do with Josh Allen? Josh Allen had a slew of bad receivers, and they said, let me fix that. Let me build around Josh Allen. And Josh Allen is a mother effing G. And we're going to get into Josh Allen talk in just a moment. But I'm actually glad that you shed some light on your opinion on Lamar Jackson. I think that he's definitely a top 10 quarterback, he should accordingly. I personally, he's a $40 million guy, especially because we got Herbert that's going to get paid next year. You've got Kyler Murray that's looking to get paid as well, and there's one more quarterback.
Burrow.
Those guys are going to get paid, and they're all $40 million players. You can't tell me Lamar's not.
Well, Burrow and Herbert are probably more of 43 to $48 million players, to be honest.
40 and above. I'm talking about 40 and above. You cannot be 40 and above. Yeah. 40. These guys are million dollar players and above. But anyway, we'll see how that plays out. So that's why Lamar's got to keep that in mind. I'm not taking a bum ass deal this year, and then these guys are going to surpass me and make more than I do. And I have an MVP under my belt. None of these cats have an MVP under their belt. So that's where it's tricky. You can't dismiss the MVP. But at the same time, you see what these players are about. You see Burrow.
Just one final thing on it. Like, you mentioned the MVP, but as years go by, you can't like say, oh, he won an MVP. Because then you're kind of getting into the Cam Newton range. You're like, well, Cam Newton won an MVP in 2018 or 2015, but in 2018, he was nowhere near the same player. Not saying Lamar cannot get back to the MVP.
I get it. It's a fair point.
But it's like, it's like 3-4 years afterwards, I'm like, honestly, even now, I'm just kind of like done riding the Lamar MVP thing. Because like, that was cute. He won that. Congratulations, he won the MVP. But now it's time, like, okay, Lamar, you're going into year 5. You know, you got Patrick Mahomes winning Super Bowls. You got Joe Burrow going into a Super Bowl. You got Josh Allen looking to rise in the marks. Justin Herbert's going to look to get in the playoffs soon. Russell Wilson just came to the AFC. You know, Derek Carr just got an extension. He's looking to get back into things in the playoffs.
Very much so.
You got a bunch of talent. Like, it's like, to me, it's like, okay, Lamar, let's go out and win a playoff game.
How these players get paid is by performing. Oh, yeah. That's number one.
Oh, yeah.
How these players get paid is by getting these All-Pros, the Pro Bowls. That's their accolades. That's what they have on their resume. So you got to have those things on your resume, right? You don't have those things on your resume, what are we talking about, right? You got to perform, but you got to have something on the resume to say something. But anyway, great discussion.
Let's go.
Great discussion nonetheless. So we're going to move it to another one here. Are you ready for this one?
Let's go for it.
We are talking Brian Daboll. We were talking about it earlier, and I got into it. And before we get in here, I got to give a shout out to D. Raleigh, Mr. D. Raleigh. Welcome to the Bing Squad. Bing, biggity, bing. Let's go. I appreciate you guys letting me use my bell today. I've been wanting to use this thing for a while, so I appreciate y'all, man. Let me give another shout out to my man, Hayes McClendon. What up, Hayes? What's up, good sir? Rico, you and your staff are doing an amazing job. Love the dedication and loyalty. Keep up the great work. Happy Father's Day to you. To all the fellas in here, and I appreciate you, Hayes. You are good, man. I appreciate that love. And listen, man, we always got to hold it down, man, for Father's Day. Father's Day is a big weekend, and we got to hold it down. I mean, as papas, and making sure everything is good to go. So let's get into it, man. Josh Allen, Brian Daboll. Here was a discussion that was had today. And I think it was Sam Munson, I believe his name is, from PFF. And he brought up the topic. Actually, let me just bring it up before I just talk my ish. He brought up a topic today, which I found very interesting. And it was to do with, let me see here if I could bring it up here. Let me see. It was to do with the success that Brian Daboll has. And is he going to try to duplicate that same success? So here was the tech. The tweet was, it was coming from Sam Monson from PFF, right? He goes, if Josh Allen never happened, Brian Daboll's resume looks very different. And I think it's pretty unclear who or what was primarily responsible for Allen's development. This is a downer of a tweet, but it just struck me today looking through his career. And I found that interesting, right? So I came in and I was like, hold on a second. Josh Allen is fantastic. But Josh Allen didn't just become Josh Allen out of nowhere. So my response was, listen, it took a village to build Josh Allen to where he's at. I'm like, it took a village. Allen isn't where he is if not for the likes of Derek Anderson, Jordan Palmer, all the way up to Daboll, McDermott, and Bean. Bean putting the pieces around him, right? McDermott coaching him up. Right. Brian Daboll coaching him up and being around him for 4 years. Right. But like, and Joe Marino was agreeing. He said that almost the same in the same thing. He put a tweet just before that. I'm like Joe Marino said, ultimately, Allen is the primary reason for where he's at. It is scary to know where Josh Allen is going to go from here because he's just getting into his prime. He's not even in his prime. But then it got me thinking. Did Allen make Brian Daboll? Is that a fair discussion to have? And Ev, I'm gonna get I have my own thoughts I'm gonna share in just a moment, but I want to start with you. Did Josh Allen make Brian Daboll, or was this a mutual relationship where they both built each other up? But where is the edge? Is the edge lie with the guy that put the work in, that's improved every single year, or was it all due to being coached under Brian Daboll? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, this is definitely an interesting topic to discuss because a lot of the fact about Josh Allen developing, you know, from year one to year two to year three to year four,
right,
was alluded to Brian Daboll and Stephon Diggs. Like that from what I've seen all over, you know, Bill's Twitter and, you know, NFL Twitter and just, you know, NFL media in general, was that when you casually look at it, you just see, okay, Josh Allen in year two was throwing, you know, what, 60% completion percentage, 58, whatever it was.
Yep.
He really wasn't throwing the ball well, right? You bring in Stephon Diggs from Minnesota. He comes up. Josh Allen's throwing near 70% the next season. So a lot of people just alluded to the fact that, you know, they got Stephon Diggs. Josh Allen just somehow magically turned it around. And that's, you know, completely false. Like, it just was not Stephon Diggs. You know, it wasn't just Brian Daboll. It was, you know, like you mentioned, working out with Jordan Palmer for countless off seasons. You know, having guys like Derek Anderson, Matt Barkley in the quarterback room, going and, you know, training with Sean McDermott and having Brandon Bean, you know, in the back, you know, back corner, you know, hyping him up and, you know, really being there for one another. And then, you know, having a guy like Brian Daboll, and, you know, even having a guy like Ken Dorsey there as well, you know, having all these guys in the locker room for Josh Allen really, in my opinion, was the best thing. Because if Josh Allen was in any other organization, year one, year two, I don't think he makes that jump to year three, to be honest. Like, I really don't. I don't know if he does.
That's a fair point.
If he goes to Cleveland, if he goes to the Jets, I don't know if Josh Allen makes that jump from year one to year two to year three. And I think this is more of a testament to allude to Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean for bringing in the right personnel, for bringing in the right quarterbacks, you know, for getting, you know, these connections with Josh Allen to bolster his confidence, you know, to go on to the point. And we mentioned earlier analytics. That's kind of how Josh Allen figured out how to, you know, figure out his release and figure out a new mechanics. Throwing motion.
All about mechanics.
Right? Mechanics. And it is through those like analytical machines.
Yep.
You know, the new technology. And you know, that's how he did it. He worked on that with Jordan Palmer. And then when Stephon Diggs came over in 2020, he was, you know, constantly working, you know, with Stephon Diggs all off season, not skipping a beat. They were both on each other's page.
Yep.
And so, like, this is kind of where I go with it. I would say Brian Daboll had a fairly good resume beforehand. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it would have landed him a head coaching spot. But, you know, he comes to Buffalo in year one in 2018. He came here in 2019, right?
Brian Daboll got here in 2018.
2018. Yep. Yeah, so 2018, you know, he did his thing. He had, I'd say, an iffy year one, but there was a little potential to work for year two and year three. You know, Josh Allen has his breakout season. That really, in my opinion, bolstered Brian Daboll from a potential head coach to a guy that's basically locked for a head coaching position in the near future. Josh Allen broke up onto the scene, and he's converting these crazy throws on third down. You know, he's slinging the rock better than he's ever had in his life. He's completing 70% of his passes. He has over 40-plus touchdowns. He gets the Bills to the AFC Championship. Stephon Diggs has 1,500 yards, 7-plus touchdowns. Dawson Knox had a good year. Gabe Davis had a good year. Cole Beasley was a second-team All-Pro. It really just was alluded to the fact that Josh Allen had a spectacular season. And I want to give a little bit of credit to Brian Daboll, just because, again, he is like you mentioned, like, did Josh Allen make Daboll? Like, I'm giving Brian Daboll a little bit of credit there. Like, he, you know, had a lot to do with Josh Allen's development and success. But at the end of the day, you can only do so much to coach a player up. It's really at the end of the day what the player's going to do on the field. You know, you can be like Kyle Shanahan and set up a system in almost any running back, and almost any quarterback can go into that system and, you know, play fairly well. But, you know, in a system like the Buffalo Bills, you kind of have to have a quarterback like Josh Allen to make everything work. The Buffalo Bills aren't the Buffalo Bills without Josh Allen. So, you know, when Josh is converting these long third down throws, breaking and evading these sacks, you know, not turning the ball over like he did the year prior, he's really just kind of taping up the mistakes and patching up the mistakes that Brian Daboll might have on his offense. But overall, like, at the end of the day, like, you know, both these guys, you know, work together in a collaboration to, you know, make each other better. I mean, at the end of the day, you got to give Josh Allen most of the credit, just because, again, he's on the field. He's doing everything. You know, he's making the pre-snap adjustments. You know, he's in the huddle. You know, he's throwing the ball. But again, at the end of the day, you got to give Brian Daboll a little bit of credit to that point, just because, you know, he is the guy that believed in Josh Allen that all time through. You know, he is setting up the plays. You know, he worked with Josh constantly. You know, he was there to talk to him for whatever he needed. You know, he was the offensive coordinator. I mean, at the end of the day, he is the offensive coordinator.
He definitely was.
So you're gonna get it there. So I would say Josh definitely bolstered Brian Daboll's resume.
All right, and I'm in agreement. I'm in agreement with you, because I'm gonna give Brian Daboll a little bit of slack here, because he's never had a quarterback like Josh Allen, right?
That's true.
Look at who he's been coaching. He coached the New York Jets as an offensive coordinator. I think he was a wide receivers coach out there, if I'm trying to get this right. He was a quarterback coach for Cleveland. Then he was Cleveland's never been good. You know what I mean? Up until lately. Offensive coordinator to Miami. I think, like, who was it? Fiedler was his quarterback. Kevin Girard's in here. So Kevin, who was the quarterback when Brian Daboll was your offensive coordinator? It wasn't great, right? He went to Kansas City, had Matt Castle as his quarterback, right? He goes to who else was he a coordinator for? Kansas City, it was Miami Dolphins, and he was the Cleveland Browns. Just not great. New York Jets, like, he hasn't had anybody like Allen. So to poo-poo on Brian Daboll saying, oh, Allen made him, well, he didn't really have a guy like Allen, right? And Allen, we could say, never really had anybody like Daboll. And the fact that both of them they started off together 4 years straight, you get to learn someone. I'll admit it. I wasn't a big fan of Daboll at all. First year, I was like, get him out of here. I'm not liking what I'm seeing, right? Second year, I was like, okay, I'm seeing some things. And then I was like, I'm in love with this dude. I will say this, though, and people forget, but when Josh Allen got hurt and he hurt his elbow and Derek Anderson was in, after spending some time on the sideline and with Derek Anderson, and then when Josh Allen came back into the fold, what a different quarterback. I think Derek Anderson had a lot to do with coaching him up, a veteran guy coaching him up. So a village. I'm still sticking with a village is where it's at with the development of Josh Allen, because everyone had a hand in it. Brandon Bean putting pieces around him, right? Like a number one type of receiver, bona fide receiver, and Stephon Diggs. You're going to have success. Here's the big one. Brian Daboll now has to prove this. If he's going to have some credit, which he deserves, have some credit with Josh Allen, he's almost got to show some residual, right? Right? Some residual effect from what he gained from Josh Allen into the New Jersey freaking Giants.
Yeah, and this is the thing now. When you're Brian Daboll and you're going over to the New York Giants,
right?
He's got some good pieces. He's got Kadarius Toney.
Yep.
Who didn't put up the best statistical season last year, but had that one game for almost 200 yards and a score. Kadarius Toney is one of the most electrifying players in football right now, and he's going into his second season. You have Saquon Barkley, who
I'm about to pull up their roster right now.
Coming off a major injury, but they're looking to use him, more as a slot receiver, out wide, motion him around, utilize his talent that he was the number two pick out of Penn State in 2018.
Hold that thought. I'm gonna read up their actually receiving core right now. So you got Kadarius Toney, you got Darius Slayton, you've got Sterling Shepard, you got Wandell Robinson,
great player.
You've got Kenny Golladay, you got Robert Foster, remember that name. You got Keelan Doss. So you've got a slew of freaking some players out there.
They have a nice five receivers right there.
Absolutely.
The first five you need.
And let's go to their O line. They've got protection, right? They just drafted. I'm not even going to mention who that went over there as like a contributor, but we'll see how that plays out. But
he'll be solid for him.
Hey, we'll see. You got Joshua Ezudu, I think his name is. Then they drafted, who's the other guy they drafted? Evan Neal.
Yeah, Evan Neal. Right? So, and then they got Andrew Thomas on the other side.
And they got Andrew Thomas on top of that. I'm looking at Andrew Thomas's name right now. So Dable's got a good nucleus on offense. It's Daniel
Plus Jones. They also have Kyle Rudolph, yeah. Too, the tight end.
Yeah, Kyle, who's the tight end room right now is you've got Audrey Miller, Chris Mayock, Ricky Seals-Jones they got over there. Kyle Rudolph's out there, man. No Kyle Rudolph. Ricky Seals-Jones and Andre Miller. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is he's not going to a team that is a bum, right?
Oh, no.
Very good team. It's a matter of Daniel Jones stepping his game up. Can Brian Daboll pull anything out from Daniel Jones that he pulled out from Josh Allen? Two different specimens. I'm not even going to call Daniel Jones a specimen. First of all, he's a very good athlete, but he ain't no Josh Allen. Can Brian Daboll make the New Jersey freaking Giants relevant in the NFC East? That's the freaking question that I'm curious on finding out myself. I'm gonna be watching the Giants. I'm rooting for the Giants in a way.
This is one more thing I want to touch upon. Like,
go ahead.
We talked about all the receivers, the offensive line. Some of the tight ends they got too. You got to look at Daniel Jones again. He's not a specimen like Josh Allen, right?
No, he's not.
But he's a 6'4" quarterback that can run. So definitely they are.
Thank you, Kevin. Utilize. Matt Moore and Chad Henne. That's what you got to rock with. That's what Brian Daboll's rocking with. Chad Henne and Matt Moore. Go on.
You got Danny Dimes. I don't know why they call him Danny Dimes. He ain't throwing dimes. Made in the defense. But
Danny Dimes.
But you got Daniel Jones there. He's going into year four. He's a quarterback that can move. He doesn't have the arm strength Josh Allen has. He doesn't have the size Josh Allen has. He doesn't have the full downhill speed that Josh Allen has. But he is a 6'4" quarterback that can run a little bit. So Brian Daboll has a little bit to utilize there, with some quarterback read options, some quarterback draws, some stuff that he ran with Josh Allen over the past few years. Yep. You can run that with Daniel Jones. Is it going to be as successful? No, it won't. Just again, two different players. One's a specimen. One's a guy who might not even be a starting quarterback next year. He might get benched with Tyrod.
But like Jeff King said, he has to replicate it with Jones somewhat. He's got to show me something because and I get it, and this is the argument too. He's going over to New Jersey. Jones is not his guy. So he's got almost a wash year. So if Jones doesn't pan out, it's not my guy anyway. I'll pick my guy. So that's his way out a little bit. But you're going to have to show me something with Daniel Jones because they invested the first round draft pick in Daniel Jones.
And the thing is with Daniel Jones, if we see a little more consistent play out of Jones, mm-hmm. For a stretch of the season, I'm not saying the entire season, just because I don't think you're going to get a consistent, replicate play of what Daniel Jones can do the entire season. But if you're Brian Daboll and you can get a good 8 to 10 game stretch out of Daniel Jones, and you can maybe win 7 or 8 games and compete a little bit to maybe week 16, week 17 in the NFC East. I think that's a win for Giants fans and a win for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. I think that would be
seven wins.
The greatest. I think if the Giants can get to 7 wins, because like you got to look at it, the Dallas Cowboys, you know, are basically locked to make the playoffs in the NFC for the most part, and maybe win the NFC East. And the Philadelphia Eagles have only gotten better. Jalen Hurts is only getting better. You bring in AJ Brown. NFC. You got year 2 Devontae Smith.
Yeah.
You got Dallas Goedert. You got Miles Sanders coming back. You got a loaded team on offense for the most part.
And you listen, they just brought over freaking AJ Brown to the Eagles. So Eagles, that NFC East, I mean, it's always been it's just muddy. There's always been muddy water, right? Everybody's just jumbled around.
Yeah, and the thing that I love about the Eagles is you bring in a guy like AJ Brown, who isn't the best separator and the best route runner, but he's so physically dominant at the release point and at the catch point, and he's probably the best yak receiver in football along, you know, Debo and some of those others. But then you got Devontae Smith.
I wouldn't put him up there, but go on.
No, yak receiver.
Right. Go ahead. I'm listening. Yeah. I'm listening.
So then you got Devontae Smith, who sneakily is one of the best route runners in football. He's not on the same level with, you know, Diggs and Adams and Keenan Allen and Cooper. But, you know, Devontae Smith, man, I mean, for being as, you know, slim and sleek as he is, that guy can run routes.
He flies. Like,
he flies. And then you got Quez Watkins, who's underrated as anyone. So, I mean, look for the Eagles, man. They're gonna be a solid team.
They're going to be a solid team, but I mean, right now the Giants underwhelmed last year, and a lot of it had to do with coaching. They didn't believe in Coach Joe Judge. What
they were doing quarterback sneaks on 3rd and 10.
Dude, he's an absolute bum. What were you thinking, even bringing him as the head coach? Like, just stop that nonsense. You need an innovator. You need a guy that's creative. You need a guy that believes in the quarterback and believes in the whole team. And anytime a coach is lost to the players don't give a damn. Talk about the Jaguars coach, freaking, what's that bum that was digging up his fingers up in that hoo-ha, that lady.
Urban Meyer
sitting there chilling, you know what I'm saying, digging for gold. I don't know what that man was doing. But anyway, when you got a whole team that just loses all confidence in the head coach, bro, we ain't playing for you. We're not playing for you, and we're just doing what we got to do for ourselves. But Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, going over there, they're going to make, and I have some friends that are Giants fans and content creators that are talking right now, and they absolutely love what's happening in New Jersey right now. They got this team coming together. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Yeah, you can criticize Brian Daboll's play calling all you want.
Yep.
You know, at points in times, rightfully so, there's points in times over the past 2 years where he's had some slip-ups and moments where he hasn't called the best plays. But the one thing that you can't discredit Brian Daboll on is ability to rally players around him as a head coach in the locker room. Every single player on the current Buffalo Bills roster and past Buffalo Bills rosters over the past few years have spoke nothing but greatness about Brian Daboll.
That's big fact.
They spoke nothing but greatness about Brian Daboll, and they're doing the same thing about Ken Dorsey. So Brian Daboll going over to New York, he has a lot of talented players, and he has Joe Shane going over there with them. Brian Daboll's already respected right now. He's being respected throughout the small mini camps and OTAs.
Yep.
But it really gets down to the nitty gritty stuff when you get into training camp, when you get into preseason, when you get into that first game of the regular season. If you don't have all those guys on the same page around you in the locker room, good luck. Pack up your bags. There's no more season. Listen, it's hard to turn it around. It's not easy.
But he went to a good situation. He's gone to a very good situation. So there's high expectations from him. If you went to a bum team, like, I don't know, who was the worst team last year in the NFL?
Jaguars.
Were the Jags the worst?
Yeah. Trayvon Walker, first overall.
So let's just say he goes to the Jags.
Right? I wouldn't say the Jags are like that bad, though. Like,
I'm talking about, I want a bad roster. When you look at that roster, you're like, ugh, that roster is horrible. I mean, it's not a whole lot. I'm trying to think. Somebody help me in the chat. He's not the worst roster in the game right now. If you were to just look at your head, worst roster.
Houston or Atlanta?
We'll say Atlanta. Well, you know what? Atlanta would be the one that I stand out and say, not great. Houston had some pretty damn decent pieces on that squad, and they're playing for their head coach. But anyway, I'll say Atlanta. Atlanta's got the worst roster. You send Daboll to Atlanta, at least you know he ain't got shit on that squad. So I'm expecting you to not do well. In New Jersey, they're expecting them to have a good season because I've given you a pretty damn good team. Our coaching is what sucked. You know what I'm saying? So galvanize, put this team together. Let's see what you got. You made Josh Allen who he is right now. You know what I'm saying? This head coaching job, you pretty much got. Because Joe Shane is there, number one. And B, obviously, you know what I'm saying? They saw what Josh Allen did. And Josh Allen is a freaking budding star. So we'll see how that plays out. I'm expecting big things from the Giants. I'm actually excited to see what they're like. I'd like two things from you. What is going to be David? You got me saying David Johnson. Danny Dimes stat line. Yards thrown, passes thrown, pass touchdowns thrown, interceptions.
Oh, Danny. Man. I want to look up his last year stats.
I was just about to look up the same thing, too. So looking up.
Because I kind of know his stats to a point. All right. So last season, Daniel Jones threw for 2,400 yards, 10 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions.
Dude, that's freaking horrible.
I want
2,400 yards, 10 touchdowns. Bro, how are you supposed to win with that, man?
Yeah, nice. I also want to see Daniel Jones game log too, because I don't think he played the full season. So that's the thing though.
He's got a 45-29 TD to interception ratio. It's not horrible.
Yeah. Don't forget all the fumbles. He's got something like 50 career fumbles.
You know what I mean? He's got 1,000 rushing yards and he's got 5 rushing touchdowns. It's not horrible.
Could have had more rushing yards if he didn't trump.
Oh my God. Come on. You got to give me a break on that. At 62%, he's throwing for 63% completion percentage. So, hey, listen, there's some things that we could, you could work with a guy like Danny Dimes, right? You could work with that. So we'll see what Brian
did. So here it is.
Looking forward to it. Go ahead. What do you got?
Yeah. So Daniel Jones played 11 games last year, started in 11 of them, had 232 completions on 361 pass attempts. 2,400 yards passing. His yards per attempt was 5.8. Not too good. And the completion.
You're trying to keep a straight face out there. You can't, bro. Average 5 yards pass? No.
Can't. Yeah. His on target percentage 76.1.
All right. That's the thing. This is why some Giants fans are somewhat excited, because you're getting a true
offensive mind
coming to coach up. What do you got?
I'll say this, though. His bad throws, so like bad throw percentage, bad throws have went down every single season from 80 to 76 to 64.
Hey.
So that's something to learn.
That's a 20-point drop, so that's not bad.
So
from year one to year three.
If Daniel Jones is going to play a full 17-game season, I want to say, again, this is how I feel that
Brian Daboll. Is he throwing over 3,500 yards?
I could see him getting the 3,600, 3,700.
Perfect.
But a lot of it will be Wandell Robinson, Kadarius Toney, Saquon Barkley, Kenny Galladay making jump ball catches, and a lot of those guys going – after the catch. It's not going to be Daniel Jones throwing the ball, right onto their chest into tight coverage and, really being accurate downfield quarterback. It's going to be more of those receivers and running backs and skill position players doing things after the catch and doing the dirty work, kind of like San Francisco, getting those players involved. And, I also expect Brian to be able to utilize Daniel Jones' legs a lot, because like you mentioned,
I agree.
Daniel Jones,
he's super athletic.
Boy, he's very athletic. Vanilla Vic. Daniel Jones.
My man called him Vanilla Vic. Yo, don't disrespect Vic like that. Vanilla Vic.
Daniel Jones is not Brian Daboll's guy. So right. I'm not saying he's not scared to kind of run Daniel Jones into the ground and unleash his full potential. Like a guy like Josh Allen, you're not going to run Josh Allen into the ground. You're not going to
get him. He's got a wash year guess who the backup quarterback is? Tyrod Taylor. And Tyrod is like a Fitzpatrick. If you give him a freaking
he's hungry, man.
He's going to take that starting position. The question, too, is how long until, Tyrod Taylor jumps in week 7, week 8, if Daniel Jones doesn't become that guy?
Here, we can make this prediction really quick. So I want to look at the Giants' schedule.
The Giants' schedule is probably going to be a tough one. It's always the NFC East always has a pretty damn tough schedule, man.
Yeah, I want to look at the Giants' schedule in whole. Looking on the Giants website. So week 1, they start off at Tennessee. So in my opinion, that's a loss. You're not beating Tennessee in their home opener. You're just not. Tennessee, I think, will get them. Week 2, they go against the Panthers. So that should be a win.
Listen, who the hell's who's quarterbacking over there? Sam Darnold?
As of right now, yeah.
I ain't buying it. No, not doing it.
Then they got the Cowboys.
They got the Cowboys. Cowboys should win. Cowboys have Cowboys a good win. Roster, man. They should be able to beat the Giants.
And then you got the Bears week four. So you could be 2-2 out the get-go.
That's not bad. 500.
Then you got the Packers.
That's an L.
Week five. Then you got the Ravens week six.
That's an L.
You got the Jags week seven. That could win.
I don't know about this Jags team, man. I don't know.
Toss up, man.
What do you think?
I don't know what I'm going to get out of Trevor Lawrence. Well, I like Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson together.
Yeah.
I like those two combined because I feel like Doug Peterson really helped Carson Wentz in his second season in the league. And, you know, you look at Carson Wentz and Trevor Lawrence, those two quarterbacks, they kind of have a similar play style in a way. So I kind of expect Trevor Lawrence to take a nice step. No MVP season like Wentz.
Let me ask you a question. When it comes to the fantasy, is Daniel Jones someone that you could potentially draft as a fantasy, as one of your fantasy quarterbacks?
Backup. I wouldn't rely for him.
Backup quarterback? Well, hold on a second. But then this gives me an opportunity to jump in and let everybody know. If you see Daniel Jones as a backup quarterback, what if you were the GM of a fantasy football team? And I'm not just talking about any fantasy. I'm talking about dynasty fantasy football. You have the opportunity to be a GM, potentially draft Daniel Jones and have him as your backup because you never know if he's going to be a guy that busts out just in case. But if you are thinking of joining fantasy and potentially dynasty, I got something for y'all. Check this out.
Dynasty owner is the best way to play fantasy football. Get inside the mind of an NFL GM as you use real NFL markets and off-season moves to make your dynasty owner team the best in the league. Download the Dynasty Owner app on the App Store or Google Play today. You've never experienced fantasy football quite like this.
Like that, you segue into it. You help me segue into that one. I had to jump in there. If you guys are not jumping on your Dynasty Football fantasy, this is where you got to jump in there. You are the creator. You get to make the squad as best you can. But there's some other guys that are coming for that title. So jump in on that the fantasy dynasty. If you guys are in that, man, it's all about it. Jump in there. Big things are coming this year. I don't know about you, Dan. I don't know about you, man, but I'm all about fantasy right now. So it's too soon to talk about it, but we're going to get into that anyway. So keep going with that schedule.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Let me pull my phone again. Yeah. So Jaguars week seven. I could see the Giants winning that matchup. I wouldn't be surprised that the Jags snuck out a win. Either way, I'll give it to the Giants just for the benefit of the doubt of the conversation. And then this is where it gets good. This is where it gets good for the Giants. So you beat the Jags. That will give you your third win of the season by week seven, right? So as of right now, you beat the Panthers. You're 1-1 because you lost to the Titans. Then you go 1-2 against the Cowboys, 2-2 against the Bears. You drop two against the Packers and the Ravens. So you're 2-4. But this is where the swing gets in. You beat the Jags, you're 3-4. You go to Seattle week eight. Seattle is not in a good spot right now. They have a terrible roster.
Are they that horrible? I'm not really down on quarterback Drew Lock. I think he's not a bad quarterback.
I don't know. I'm just not sold. I'm not sold the way Pete Carroll constructs his offense right now. He's a run first oriented coach. I think he's way past his coaching days. I think if you could have cut ties with Pete Carroll a while ago, you could. But I'm going to take the Giants. That makes them 4-4 at week eight. Now they have their bye week. This is where it gets good. You're 4-4 at the bye week, week nine. Out of the bye, you have a home game against the Houston Texans. You can easily go over 500 now. You'll be 5-4. You'll be 5-4 at this point. Week 11, you have the Detroit Lions. That's a favorable matchup. I think the Lions are a good team on the rise, but that's easily winnable. It's easily winnable.
I really like the Lions. I think the Lions will be not a bad squad.
I think Goff's kind of underrated. I don't think he's a great quarterback, but I think he gets too much slander. So that'd be 6-4. And then you have the Cowboys. Now, if you're into the most teams might split a season series, this could be that matchup, making the Giants 7-4 or potentially 6-5. Not a bad record still.
Right.
Now,
I'm going to open this up so I can get to, I hope people can see this.
Oh, sorry.
The schedule.
There we go.
So where were we at? We had the Giants and Seahawks.
Oh, we are on the Commanders now.
The Commanders. Oh, I'm in August. Let me scroll on down. Commanders. All right. Giants, Commanders, December.
Yes. So In my opinion, they split both. They split these games, yep. which would put them at 7-6.
Then you have the Colts. I'm not giving them the Colts.
You don't think the Colts? You don't think
the Colts are taking that? I'm not giving.
Oh, you forgot the Eagles too. The Eagles and the Vikings.
Yeah, they're losing the Eagles. I think Eagles will be good.
I think they go 3-3 in the NFC East this year.
Okay.
I think that's interesting. Yeah, so I think they go 500. So right now, what? I had them at 7-6.
Yep.
With the Commanders, I have them splitting with the Eagles, which would make them 8-7. And then who else they got left?
So you got the Eagles, and you got to go to the Giants. You got to go Commanders again.
So worse, I have them going 8-9 or 7-10. Like that's realistic. Like
that's
like
pretty much bang on what you pretty much were predicting.
Yeah. No, like that because I looked at their schedule.
So is that a successful season for Dable?
First year, yeah, easily 7-8 wins. Yeah, I think that's a very reasonable approaching point if you're a head coach.
I agree, Sal. Not winnable. It's not an easy winnable game. I think we both agree. The Lions are an up-and-coming team.
Yeah, no, I said they're an up-and-coming
team. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So listen, I look at it that way, too. Hey, if you have to dip out, man, let me know.
No. It's just someone popped in. I was like, I'm on a show.
Is that the ex? Is that the ex-girlfriend?
No. It's the brother.
No, God, no. No, but listen, man, at the end of the day, I think we're both looking forward to.
You want
to
say hi?
Who's that? Is that Scotty?
No, it's not Scotty.
Who wants to say hi?
Huh? It's the ex-girlfriend's brother.
I shouldn't say anything then.
Just come say hi, dude. All right, whatever.
I was going to make an inappropriate joke for the dude's brother. Yo, Evan was blowing out your sister's back. How do you feel about that? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm probably on. Funny thing is, I'm probably on speakerphone right now.
No, you're in the AirPods.
I mean, AirPods. There you go. I was about to say, oh shit, I'm about to put this boy in trouble. Anyway,
oh no.
Long story short, I don't want to stay too much on these Giants, but it's more about Brian Dable and if he's gonna have success, especially with the big success he had with Josh Allen. Can he duplicate or somewhat duplicate that success with Daniel Jones? That'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of what these New Jersey Giants do. Do you know I refuse to call them New York? I ain't doing it. The new freaking Jersey Giants. That's what you guys get. So last topic of the night, and I'm going to keep it at that. And it's very simple. Deshaun Watson, they're about to give this guy potentially a year's suspension. I think it's apropos. It's not about guilty or not guilty. It's about you just making the league look terrible. And the league does not play that game. You want to make us look a fool? There's a conduct. And right now you are not protecting the shield, and the shield is not looking good. And furthermore, my man did not, I don't care what they told you. If you've already spoken in a press conference, you're coached extremely well, do not do any more press conferences. Because the last
you just had one a few days back.
I know. And I saw that press conference and like, dude, don't even if you guys have questions for me, it's about football. And football only. I ain't talking about anything else. Leave it to my lawyers. Leave it to all that stuff. And they asked him. He was doing pretty well with answering the questions. Rehearsed answers, community.
Yeah, right.
Be a big teammate. I'm trying to, whatever. Then they said, they asked him a question. Is it true you had 66 massages in 17 months? And he goes, I wouldn't say that's accurate, but you'll have to talk to my lawyers about that. What? It's either yes or no. Did you do that or not?
Yeah. Or like the question's yes or no, and you're just making it more of like, okay,
yes Deshaun, or no, or no comment.
You like, feel Deshaun, me? Is it more than 66 or like, is it still like, cause like to me, when I first heard that, I'm like, dude, did you have more than 66 interactions with, massage therapists?
Bro, 66 is a lot. First of all, I mean, how much massage you got to get? You know what I'm saying?
I haven't had a massage in like 2 years, man.
Bro, there are countless. We have 125 people watching right now. All right, in the 125 people, there are some people that have benefits in this chat right now, and probably rarely use that massage therapy benefit that you guys gain. My man over here is doing 66 in
17 months. 17 months.
My guy. Come on,
that's one a week. That's one a week, and I, you know, The thing is, like, I get athletes that travel and they might go see a, you know, a massage therapist here and there. Like, I get that.
Yep.
But 66 and 17.
66 is a big number. I mean, I get it. Like, you're trying to, you want to optimize. You want to be ready to go, tip top shape.
Have you heard his new nickname?
Nah.
Massage Watson.
Oh, that's actually clever. That's not bad. Here's another one that they asked him too. That I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. Hey, are you looking to settle or something to the nature of like, did you or your people settle? And he's like, oh, you'll have to talk to the, I'm paraphrasing here. You'll have to talk to the Houston Texans about that or my previous employers about that. Fam, just be quiet. Just don't say a word. Let your lawyers do what they do and just shut your ass up and go to training camp and call it a day. But now
I liked his one response from the question about the community engagement. I don't know if this was just like made up or not. He mentioned how he went to the movie theater and the family bought him popcorn. I'm like, you know, that's very possible, Deshaun. But
you know what? Most people, if you really think about it, they don't have the moxie to go, fuck you, Deshaun, right? They'll most likely see a star and want an autograph or want this and be pleasant. It's very rare that you'll find somebody say, hey, you jackass. They just won't do it.
Well, yeah, because most people, like,
to do it face-to-face.
Yeah, like, I mean, the field we're in or other, you know, other people, like, there's people that hate people like us who talk sports. Oh.
Sorry, no, I was going to say, well done, Walter. Walter's like, when a QB has more lawsuits than wins in his last year playing, he ain't worth it. I mean, listen, all those things aside, we all know that he's a damn good quarterback, but
This is a
big distraction. And they got to give him a year. Like the suspension is coming. It's either, and I'm sure his team told him, we're going into this. It's two things are going to happen. One thing's for certain. You got me saying certain. You are getting suspended, right? You're getting suspended, sir. Right? Secondly, it's a matter of how long you're going to get suspended for. Is it going to be 3 games? Is it 6? Is it 9? Is it the whole season? Worst case scenario,
or is it lifetime? It's life. It could be lifetime. I'm
no criminal charges get some lifetime. I doubt they go lifetime.
I mean, if he gets criminal charges, that's what I meant.
Like, but there were no criminal charges. That's already done and gone with. I'm not saying it's over. There could be more. I don't know. But right now, it's all civil. So call it a day. Suspend his ass for the year, and then we're done with it. We got to keep dragging this shit out. It is what it is. But anyway, but that's just my. Hold on, somebody said, yo, W said he faced Rico. Watching is not that good. Oh, my God.
I'm going to be honest. I'm just going to say it flat out. Watson's a top five quarterback for me when he's playing.
He is a top five quarterback. There's no question.
It's like no debate for me.
There's no debate. No order.
It's Mahomes, Rodgers, Brady, Allen, Watson. Like, and no order particularly. It's just those five.
I'm okay with that list. Wait, who did you leave out? You left off Wilson? Wilson's who you left off.
No, I left out Herbert.
Oh, y'all really got Herbert up there, huh?
Because
Herbert can play, though, man. Herbert can play.
The thing is, like, Wilson's just played too inconsistent for me as of late. I've seen peak Wilson, and then I've just seen drop off Wilson. That's the same how I've seen with Kyler. That's how I've seen it with Lamar. I need more consistent play out of these guys because I know these three guys that I just mentioned have had, you know, moments where they're MVPs. They've won MVPs, Lamar. They've had their moments, but over the last couple of seasons, I just haven't seen them string it together for a full season.
We'll see.
Even Matt Stafford's inconsistent. You don't know what you're going to get out of Matt Stafford here and there. But I saw Matt Stafford hoist the Lombardi Trophy this year, and I saw
Matt Stafford had a horrible game that Super Bowl.
I know. I saw Kyler.
It wasn't that great. He didn't have a great game.
Didn't look terrible in the playoffs, and I know his team, you know, wasn't really there for him. But I saw him get bounced. You know, I saw Russell Wilson play inconsistent, and I saw Lamar Jackson have his highs. I saw him have his lows this year.
That's why I gave you a look when you're like, I'll take Stafford 7 days out of seven over Lamar Jackson. I was like, Stafford,
I'm only saying that because
he'll have Stafford you a monster make, game and then have you a poo poo game. So
Stafford can make every throw on the football field much better than Lamar Jackson. I mean, that's just course, me
throwing the football, absolutely. But when you make
and,
it,
and
when
I'm
you,
I'm a thrower,
when you need a play. Lamar Jackson comes through. It's like Allen. When you need a play, Allen comes through. Legs or arm, he comes through. And that's the type of player that Lamar Jackson is. He'll get you out
another
of the
thing with Lamar, like, another thing with that? Lamar is over the last few seasons, he's played much more careless football. There's points and times where he'll evade pressure. He'll, you know, get out of the, he'll bail out of the pocket early, try to make something happen. Because he doesn't have those receivers.
There you go.
You know, that personnel. Plays too much hero ball. And it's not like Allen hero ball. It's like, it's a little worse. Like, there was a play against the Steelers. I'm pretty sure it was against the Steelers. Lamar literally just in the red zone, just turned around and just threw it up into like triple coverage, like in the red zone.
Those are bozo plays. Allen,
every
quarterback has that one bozo
play. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, but yeah. That?
I hear you. Shout out to my guy, Jeff King, coming through. Says, hey, I'm no athlete. Are you sure, Jeff King? I bet you played some ball back in the day. I'm no athlete, but I've had one therapist for the last 7 years. If I want a happy ending, if I want a happy ending, I'll go home and turn on Pornhub to choose my own therapist for a happy ending. Might be Pam Anderson. Yo, the minute he said, if I want a happy ending, I was like, oh, God, something's coming. Something's coming my way. Shout out to my guy Jeff King, talking about Pam Anderson. That's a name I haven't heard in a long time. Pam Anderson. I got you. I got Pam Anderson. May not be the Pam Anderson of old, but she might still be a baddie. I'm not too sure. Jim Graham comes in and says, Calvin Ridley gambling $1,500 gets a year. See, that I understand it because you're messing with the integrity of the game.
Yeah, for sure.
Betting is a big no-no in all of sports. I mean, what Deshaun is alleged to do is some bullshit as well. Don't get me wrong. But like the betting is just, it's like, what is that baseball player, Pete Rose?
Yeah.
Fam, they're not letting that man back in at all. It's over with. It's not happening, right? When they take gambling, when you put the shield and you betting on the shield for $1,500 on top of that, like if you're going to bet real, like do a Drake type of bet, $1,500. Like, come on now. You just ruined that. But I hear that, man. My man Rev says Herbert is that dude. He's nasty, man. I'm looking. The Chargers are going to be a freaking. That team is going to be something else, man. Yo, this year's AFC is crazy. That's why it's so important that we take care of the AFC East, and which is segues me to the last topic of the night. The AFC East. Let's just say the Bills do not sweep the AFC East. The Bills don't sweep. We lose to one team. What team are we losing to in the AFC East, in your opinion?
Flat out, it's not the Jets. Scrap them out the book. We're not losing to the New Jersey football Jets.
Oh, man, there you go.
I want to – if we have to lose to one, I don't think we lose to New England. I think we have New England's number this year just because their roster has been – gutted basically, and they have Matt Patricia and Joe Judge calling plays. Yeah. Like what's going on with that?
Who's play calling here?
Who's play calling? Who's your number one receiver? Like you got like what do we got here? But the thing is, the Dolphins, like I know Josh Allen's daddy's the Dolphin killer, all the nicknames we get for him, but Miami gave us some struggle last year. Even though we beat them 35-0, there's points and times where like during that game, like it could have easily went in Miami's favor if they could have just moved the football. And it's not gonna be hard for them to move the football this year when you have Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Mike Gesicki, etc. You got Raheem Mostert in the backfield with Chase Edmonds. You got playmakers on the offensive side of the ball this year that you just didn't have last year. And even at home, when they played us at home, they gave us struggle. Like Josh Allen struggled. The defense did their thing, but Josh Allen struggled. And I know, like, he has statistically amazing games against the Dolphins, but he's not going to be able to just every game go out there and beat the Dolphins. Like, one time here and there, the Dolphins will get us. It's just that's how football is. I mean, that's just how it is.
Oh, you say it's the Dolphins.
I think the Dolphins get us. I think they get – if we had to lose to a team in the AFC East, it'd be the Dolphins.
I struggle with this question because I was –
it's a hard one.
It's a hard one. I do not think we're losing the Patriots this year. That's out of the question. We're just not losing to them. I just hate them that much. I just can't see us losing to them. It's really between – I mean, obviously, it's between the Jets and Dolphins. The Jets are intriguing to me. They're intriguing to me. They, you know how every team has that one team they lose to? You're like,
lost with the Jags.
Right? So I think that the Jets just catch us on one of those days, and they just, I'm not saying they give it to us, but we epically have a horrible game. Nothing is clicking, and the Jets, everything's clicking for them. And it's going to be one of those things. I think the Jets sneak one out on us. If one team is to beat us, and the Dolphins, I mean, like the fact that they picked up Raheem Mostert, I love that pickup for the.
If he can stay healthy,
man,
for at least 15, 16 games, that's huge for them.
That is a huge pickup for them.
Plus Chase Edmonds. Chase Edmonds is a good player.
Chase Edmonds, Sonny Michel, they got out there. So they got a bevy running back out there that's going to be.
Plus they still got Miles Gaskin.
Absolutely, man. And they got some good receivers out there, man. So Tyreek Hill that guy's a menace, man. He just strikes fear into everyone. And
I saw it. He struck fear into me. Like, I saw him strutting down that sideline in that game. It was right in front of me. Like, still haunts me to this day. I sometimes I don't go to bed till 4 a.m. because of that.
I do that, man. It's nastiness, but it is what it is. And you were at that game, were you not?
Yeah, no, like I was literally there. So, like, I was sitting on the 20-yard line. For where all those touchdowns were scored, they were all right in front of me. I was down by that corner end zone where Kelsey.
How fast did he look live?
Like, it was ridiculous. Like, what I mean, like, when he caught that pass in rhythm for Patrick Mahomes over the middle, he broke away from Wallace and just went, bam.
Gone.
He looked like Barry Allen in the flesh. Like, just he was gone. Just gone. Just gone. There was just no stopping him. And, like, obviously, you know, Tyreek Hill's fast. We know him as the fastest man in the NFL.
Dude is nice.
But it's like, just watching that in person, and like, I don't think he was even running his full speed. Like, he slowed up a little bit at the end. Like, he
was worse. And he gives you one of these. Oh no, you don't want.
I think
that.
He was doing it personally to me. He was just like, "Hey, Buffalo man,
peace. He's out. Peace. I'm out of here." And he was on a podcast not too long ago, and he was just like, "I ran that 70-yard touchdown and gave the peace sign to Buffalo Bills." Boy, if the Bills don't pay attention to those things, man. Y'all better take his ass down. But anyway, shout out to my man, Jeff King. He says, "I just don't want Tyreek waving bye-bye to our defense again. I'm still pissed." Well, listen, a lot of us are still pissed. So that's why we brought some speed onto the Bills. Hopefully we can mitigate that with the Dolphins. So you say the Dolphins, I say the Jets. The Jets just catch us sleeping one day, and that's how they do it. But I really hope it doesn't. I think we have a very successful season, and we call it like that. And just like that, a successful season, I hope we have. Just like we had a very successful show, and I hope you guys enjoyed this show. We had quite a bevy of topics being talked about, right? We talked on the show. Sent some love to Kim Pegula. We talked about the analytics department that we've added to the team, Lamar Jackson contract, and of course, Brian Daboll and the successes that we think he'll have. If you guys enjoyed this show, do me a favor and do myself and Evan a favor. Smash that like button real quick. For us, show some appreciation. If you guys have not subscribed to the channel, do us a favor. Subscribe to the channel. It just takes a click. Just hit that bell.
A little click.
That little small click, man. That notification bell is just waiting to get smashed, man. Just smash that. Buddy's like, "Yo, smash me, boy. Let's go." Pause. So at the end of the day, we appreciate y'all, man. Evan's out there glamping right now. He's chilling in the RV. He's got what? You're in a 72-footer?
Half of that.
31. Yeah, he's like half of that. So yeah, man. So shout out to my man Evan, thanks for coming on, man. I'm gonna bring you on more often.
Hey, I'm free for the summer. I mean, I start back up college, you know, end of August, but
nice. You're going into year two?
Yeah, year two. Just finished year one.
My man Evan. So I appreciate you, man. And we appreciate you guys for tuning in. Like I always say, man, you guys do not have to be here. It's much appreciated. And it goes a long way to keep us going, right? It's the offseason. Offseason is tough, right? And we're here. We're trying to bring some content to y'all, things to talk about, and we'll get it going. So other than that, man, that's it for us. Don't forget, guys, next week it will be my last week in podding. I'll be on Tuesday, and I'll be on Friday, and then I'm out of town. I'll be out of town for a couple weeks, so I won't be podding. I'll probably be jumping on the shows here and there on ZBots or on Rev. So we'll hit those guys up. Ev, don't forget to hit those guys up as well, because they're always looking to get some guests on. So get all your right. football in there. So that's it for us, folks. We appreciate y'all. And it's always great. Thank you guys for still rocking with me and Evan. What do you, other than this, what are you doing all summer, man? Just gonna be chilling out, doing glamping and doing
stuff? So actually, yeah, so a little thing what I have going on, I might be heading out to Rev, hit me up after the show. Well, I want to get on yours too. I haven't been able to chat up on yours. That's because I've been on Zach's. I want to get on yours as well.
Oh yeah, you'll get it all, man. It's BF, baby. You're on the team, baby.
For the summer, I'm doing stuff with you guys. Obviously, that's always a contributing factor to what I'm doing this summer. I'm still working radio once a week. We minimize that once a week. I'm doing my radio show. I host that. But with my radio station, we're trying to get media credentials for nice. This year's training camp. So I might be able to spend like 10 to 12 days, maybe 2 weeks in Rochester during training camp. And have some press passes. I don't know. If not, then I'll just go up.
Listen, you get your press passes. Try to sneak another one in there, and I'll join you. And we'll kill that game, man. We'll kill it up. So, Rev, we're gonna get my man Evan on the show, and we get it popping, man. My man Walter Scales Ralter says, "Yo, Rico, you better stay in podcast shape." Listen, anytime that I stay away from the mic, I come back stronger than ever. Trust and believe that. So Walter, you won't have to worry about that at all. So, guys. That's it for us. It's the Rico Report. It's the Buffalo Fanatics. My guy Evan came up with a close up. He's right up in that camera. Love it. That's my man.
It's the glare. I want people to see
it. It's the glare. That's it, man. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for us, man. And ladies and gentlemen, we're out of here, man. Until next time, it's your boy Evan. It's your boy Rico. And we are gone. We will catch you on the flip side. And have yourself a fantastic weekend. Happy Father's Day to each and every one of y'all. I don't care if you're an uncle or whatever. If you are fathering someone, you be there for them. I mean, if someone's been a very important person to you, like a father figure, you go and thank them and say happy Father's Day to you. It goes a long way. You feel me?
I'm fathering the kid I crossed up in basketball the other day.
Yeah, it's my man Evan's fathering. He's fathering kid that he crossed up in basketball, man. You sonning him. That's what you call you sonning him, man. So that's it. Everybody, have yourself a great weekend. We'll catch you on the flip side. Enjoy your weekends. Be safe, be sound, and be good to everybody. And that's it for us. And until next time, it's your boy. And I'm out, and we gone. Let's go.